Howard, I know we usually start the football podcast with Annie's Sorrow by Grey Sky Eternal, but I, since acquiring my new car, sadly do not have a headphone in jack, so I cannot listen to Sirius. And we all know that that was my radio bread and butter.
Right.
So I've been too lazy to get into podcasts. I know I produce several, and I ask people to download them. I myself do not, though. So there you go. I'm a big fucking hypocrite. And instead, I have lazily been flipping around the dials and doing, again, more than enough time on the sports talk stations owned by Dan Snyder, the ESPN affiliates. And I have been drowning in this commercial for weeks now. And fuck it. If that's how I have to hear my sports talk, that's how you guys are going to hear it, too.
Ugh.
Here it comes. Yep. Real, real burner.
1-877 cars for kids.
1-877. Never mind. I don't even know the lyrics. I can just sing 877 cars for kids.
Donate your car today.
Ugh. Yep.
1-877 cars.
Here's the guy that I pictured diddling the kid. Oh man. It's not even this version that's playing this year. There's like a very soulful black kid singing the new one.
Oh, what?
Really putting some sass into the Cars for Kids, man. Fuck. Fuck me if I've heard that one time. I've heard it 1,000. Whatever, let's...
It's such a watered-down version of the Eastern Motors.
Of course. It's like a dumb little written in crayon ditty. I can't stand it. And yet it's still stuck in my head. Let's start with the Grey Sky. Let's cleanse the palate.
Thank you.
A rocker. As the kids call it.
2, 3, 4.
All right, folks, it is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Show site, pfpod.com. You want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. Howard, what is your handle this week?
Vinny Van Gogh.
Yeah.
I misspelled the go so that it's even harder to find me.
Jesus Christ. You just do not give a fuck about accessibility. If you like the show, go on Stitcher or iTunes, as well as the website. But go to those two subscription services, type in Papa's Football Podcast, and you'll be able to subscribe to us and rate us and all that happy shit. Please do it. I should be reading reviews right now, but I have not gone to the website to do it. Our good friend Dante Nava, listener extraordinaire, said that's how you get the kids to do the reviews. You go there, you read a few, and people are like, I want in on that. First of all, I don't trust you guys. Once I say something like that, you would go there and just go on about how I eat balls and give me one star. And also, we do not have the page open. And also, I don't even think Papa's Football Podcast has a review. So there you go. Strikes 1 through 3 right there. Howard, I wanted to start this week with Percy Harvin's insane trade, I think Friday afternoon. Am I wrong?
Perhaps one of the biggest moments from the weekend. We're just coming off the games on Sunday, but none of that can really overshadow what the implications of the Harvin trade mean. So.
Yeah. You, however, had a story that you wanted to go with as the starter for the episode.
I think it is hard to let a trade overshadow the record set by Peyton Manning on Sunday.
For those not paying attention at home, 509 career touchdowns for Manning. He breaks Brett Favre's record of 508, which I think took him, what, an additional 4 years, 3 years? I think he was like...
Oh, for Favre.
Favre, to get to. If you go to NFL.com right now, and I'm not saying this is going to be up for long, but the splash page is just a video that has an American flag draped behind Peyton Manning's face and a bald eagle. is all you need to know.
And that massive... disfigured cranium of his is just so distracting.
Yeah. And it makes me think of Charlie singing his little eagle song from Always Sunny.
I'm gonna rise up, gonna kick a little ass, gonna kick some ass in the USA, gonna climb a mountain, gonna soar a fly, gonna fly on an eagle.
There you go. I just want Peyton to sing that. Let the circle complete itself. But what's your story regarding the Peyton Manning? He picked it up in the Sunday night game against the 49ers. And the 49ers, by the way, were throttled.
I mean, dog turd, yeah.
I came in. It was one of those affairs where I flip about 5 minutes before halftime, and I'm like, if this is a game, I'll stick with it. And if it's not, Boardwalk Empire time, baby. And I think it was 35-10. And I was like, Nucky, see you in a couple, buddy.
Okay, so you missed the touchdown then.
I actually did. Okay. I had to flip back, and I caught a couple things on Reddit about it. I missed the pass itself. There's a little gif going around, like they were teasing Peyton by throwing the ball around, kind of monkey in the middling him.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
With his incredibly valuable record-breaking ball.
Well, he's not going to keep it, I don't think. I think it's just
it has
gonna
to go
wrong.
To Canton.
Yeah.
Sucks.
But yeah, so I didn't see the record tying touchdown. I saw the record breaking touchdown. But after his 507th career touchdown pass, it went to commercial. I was watching the game with my girlfriend, and one thing led to another.
And now she's pregnant. Congratulations.
Well, let's just say that, you know, when the game came back on with the distracting stadium sound, she said to me, "Can we turn off the TV?" And you know,
I don't like where this is going.
So we briefly turn off the TV. We have sex, and then
nice.
And then, you know, like,
and 2 plays later,
we broke in the couch first time on the new couch. So
good.
Just moved into a new place. So that's something I can always tell Peyton Manning if I ever meet him. Like, hey, I remember the day that you set the career touchdown record. I was having sex with my girlfriend right before that.
And I feel it's not a proper breaking in unless you get sexual fluids just all over the place.
Well, what was nice was that, like, as we were just lying there afterward, the TV remote was right there, so I just pick it up, turn it back on.
Your sweaty ass cracks smearing against the nice new cushion.
No, they were in the red zone at that point, so It's just like, it looks like they already have 14 points. I think that means that the next one, he probably is going to break the record. And yeah, so I was lying there buck naked while this happened. So
dripping faucet, still semi-aroused. I love it. Wow.
So yeah, that
will be so lucky.
That will be my eternal memory of Peyton Manning setting that record.
You will not forget that one easily.
But here's the real question about Peyton Manning having 509. It's a really impressive record, and yet nobody can drop the fact that he has a mere 1 Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. And?
So do you think that is a mark against Peyton Manning's career?
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Really, people that harp on that are looking to just find the slightest little defect in this man. And you can say what you want. You can say he isn't clutch. I'm sorry if you really think that, like, it isn't a team sport at the end of the day. If you really feel that so many of his squads didn't overperform like crazy because he's the quarterback and they just finally hit the wall in the postseason. Like, I think Peyton Manning, it's not a testament to how shitty he is in the postseason. It's a testament to how goddamn good he is overall. And then finally, when people scheme against him and have a couple weeks to do it half the time, because so many times the Colts were coming off that bye week.
Yeah. I guess my biggest thing with the Colts and when Peyton played for them is he wasn't as good as thinking about offense as he is today. So I like where his brain is finally moving. But my biggest complaint against him has always been his inability to manage the run game. Like, he's always been able to call his own plays. But I felt like before coming to Denver, he really was not that good at calling running plays.
And I wouldn't disagree with that. I think you're absolutely right. My only counter, and it's a little bit glib, if you will, but hey, his alternative is Peyton fucking Manning passing for him.
I'm just saying, like, I have an explanation for why he only has one ring, but I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. When was the last time you heard someone say, oh, Brett Favre only has one ring?
Exactly. Most people, it's like, they were great, and they got that one ring. So their goddamn their legacy is legitimized.
Same thing with Drew Brees. You know, I mean, Drew Brees, let's compare these two quarterbacks right now. Drew Brees is working with a similarly, I don't want to say woeful receiving core, but there's not this breakout star currently among the wide receivers for either of these quarterbacks. I mean, the exception being Jimmy Graham, who was ruled a tight end by the league. But when you look at these two guys and what they're doing with receivers who aren't, you know, like top receivers in
aren't
the league.
Good. You don't need to sugarcoat it.
Peyton is putting up great numbers and the Saints are looking like dog shit right now. They're just terrible. And you got two quarterbacks making a lot of money. One is actually teaching his receivers. So the beautiful thing was Demaryius Thomas got that record-setting touchdown. He told the guys on NBC Football that, like, before the game when they were talking to him, Demaryius Thomas told them Peyton Manning taught him how to be a receiver, basically. He coached him, basically, the kinds of routes he expected, and that's why Demaryius Thomas has been getting crazy numbers of touchdowns recently.
The guy is just that damn good. Rex Ryan, I think, what, they played last week?
Yeah.
And he said, the best offensive coordinator in the game is Peyton Manning. He just happens to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I mean, people can bitch about that ring all you want. It only shows to me that you do not understand what really goes into football. If you truly think that this is just some fucking anime,
yeah.
That is Dragon Ball Z, and it's two guys going against each other and doing their Hadoukens and shit with just a nameless army behind them, and it's just two quarterbacks squaring off, that's not the fucking case.
Yeah, I mean, who is saying right now that the Raphisberger and Eli Manning are Hall of Famers just because they have two rings?
Yeah, or look at Terry Bradshaw. He has four.
Well, he was a Hall of Famer, man. He had some good years, man. When you
he
put up four
good,
rings,
not
that's
great.
I'm just saying, like, Ben Roethlisberger was terrible the year that they won their second Super Bowl. He had an absolutely awful year. He had 17 TDs, like 15 interceptions, something crazy. He was a bad quarterback that year. Eli, even the years he won the Super Bowl, had bad regular seasons. I don't see how suddenly stepping up two times in the postseason makes you into a Hall of Fame quarterback. Granted, nobody can ever take away two Super Bowl rings, but that's the dumbest thing. If that's the only...
I hate that statement. I wish there were somewhere that someone who could do that. Like, that accomplishment, I did take that from you. And then they just had to sit there dumbfounded. Just John Madden's favorite line. No one can take that away from him. John Madden suddenly becomes Rush Limbaugh. But blustery, blustery big white anuses.
But yeah, did you check out New York losing to Dallas yesterday at all?
Yeah, I watched the majority of that game. I watched the majority of the Skins game. 1 p.m. was a fun time.
Yeah.
Period in the NFL yesterday. If you're a Skins fan, they got Colt McCoy off the bench. Kirk Cousins was just miserable. Colt McCoy, his first pass, like a 70-yard touchdown to Garcon. That was kind of nuts.
Are we really talking about a last place team playing its third string quarterback? Is that what we're talking about right now?
I mean, if we're going by Reddit as a guide of popularity, it's something like the fourth most popular story in the league right now.
Probably because Colt McCoy went to Texas and all those Texas fans are excited to see him back in the NFL playing for real.
Yeah, especially if he goes down to Dallas next week. That'll be friggin' nuts.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
Not only that, Jeff Fisher, can we just put it out there that man has such balls.
He's a great coach.
He has balls hidden in his fucking mustache.
Because I believe he was the Oilers-Titans coach when Pete Carroll was still with New England. So this is a long time ago. This is before Pete Carroll went back to coaching college at USC. I think Jeff Fisher has just... I don't know the record head-to-head, but I imagine that Jeff Fisher has historically owned Pete Carroll.
It just... This was a 1 p.m. game as well, correct?
I can't remember now.
I think so. Good old Really Profound was tweeting me about it because he's on the west coast of Canada.
Oh, right.
So they feed him Seahawks games more than anything.
Okay.
And he's a Skins fan, so like me, he's just jacking at their misfortunes. So like during the Skins game, they're giving updates of what's going on with the Seahawks. And at one point, I think they were down 21-3. And I'm like, so close. So not one, but two trick plays on special teams that iced the game. The Rams, and as I've said before, they have been a thorn in the side of the Seahawks the last couple of years during this Seahawks ascendancy. And now descendancy? Is that a word? Descendants? I don't know. But what was it? A punt return or a kickoff return? They had a dude wave for a fair catch.
I don't think he waved. My interpretation. I didn't see him wave.
Did he not? Okay, I thought he did something to
signal. Pete Carroll is alleging that the hand that moved was... I don't believe that.
Okay, but he then falls on his ass.
Yeah.
And everyone on the Seahawks just is following this dude, sees him fall on his ass, and is like, what the fuck's going on? Turns out the ball's on the other side of the field. The dude over there is completely unencumbered by a defense in front of him.
There's literally just a punter and the gunner on that side of the field.
Yeah.
And there's like four blockers, so you do the math.
That he guts right through immediately. And it was like, what, a 90-yard
They calculate the number of yards the guy actually ran, because the guy who did the punt return for a touchdown had to run over 130 yards in order for that touchdown to occur, because he had to run from the line of scrimmage all the way back to catch the ball and then into the end zone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, so it's just, it's an absurd play because you really don't expect that to...
And it worked, and that fucking wannabe crunchy Pete Carroll, who's all like... channeling Phil Jackson, like, oh, peace and love and mellow shit, man, was just losing his fake Zen mind on the sideline. I couldn't get enough of it. And then at the end of the game, like, I want to say it was 4th and 18 for St. Louis, and they call a fake punt, and I forget who passes a fucking 18.
It was 4th and 3, I think. It wasn't 4th and 18.
Okay, so they get an 18-yard pass completion. So yeah, it's 4th and 3. It wasn't some insane play.
But it was ballsy because it was deep in their own territory.
Incredibly deep. I think it was like it was behind the 30-yard line.
It literally would have just given the Seahawks a field goal.
And Jeff Fisher was like, we weren't containing Russell Wilson. You tell me, like, do you want me to just give him the ball so that I can be marched on and beaten at the last second? Russell Wilson had 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards.
Yeah,
and
great game from him. Doug Baldwin played well. I think I crapped on him a little bit last week. But no, he stepped up too. I mean, it really was a special teams victory for the Rams. I mean, they did a couple things that were the difference in that game.
Well, so. I will never shit on Jeff Fisher again. Oh, the stones that guy has, man. Yeah. Fuck Sean Payton. Jeff Fisher actually does it well.
There was one controversy at the end of that game after the fake punt where there was... an apparent fumble that was not called a fumble on the field, so the Rams were able to retain the ball even though Richard Sherman recovered it.
Yeah, I heard about that. And Earl Thomas now won't shut the fuck up about the
crooked zebra. Go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. I went to school with Earl Thomas, but he needs to go fuck himself on this, because the Seahawks took a bullshit trip to the Super Bowl based on a non-call fumble in that game against the 49ers in the playoffs last year. Navarro Bowman had the fumble recovered.
Not just that. Wasn't
his leg was ruined.
The fail Mary week 3, I think it was, against the Green Bay, where they got the win off of that, and like, you know, that gave him different seeding.
No, that was the year before that.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah. Shit. But anyway, like, I still believe the fail Mary was the correct call in the field. I'm in the minority.
Yes, but, you are.
Because I read the rule book. Sorry. Let's not talk about fail Mary. But let's just go back to last year when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. They got there in part because of a bogus non-call and a fumble. So don't tell me that, like, the game that sent you to 3-3 is going to change your fucking season. Like, eat shit. This is not an elimination game the way that the 49ers faced one, when Navarro Bowman basically was injured for at least half the season, if not longer. Anyway. So let's talk about that NFC West, though. We got three teams in there that everybody's been talking about, with the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the 49ers, and it looks like...
Actually, let me take a call from an annoying customer, and then we can go right back to the show. All right, back to the NFC West talk, and I'm going to try to do the rest of the show only breathing through my mouth, because you took that minute recess to fart incessantly.
I just figured if you're trying to do some work, I bring some professionalism to the table.
Yeah, it was great. A customer of mine heard you audibly farting in the background as you cocked your leg like a dog scratching its ass on the carpet.
But yeah, it seems now that you have 2 1-loss teams in the NFC East and 3 teams struggling to get going in the NFC West, it really doesn't seem like all 3 of those teams in the NFC West are going to come out and make it into the playoffs for the NFC, so...
No, dude, it's like one of those huge bargains that you make with the devil. That's what the NFC East and West has become right now. Like, you know, you're like, ah, Satan, give me a Titanic dick. So he gives you, like, a 96-inch prick, and you can't do shit with it. That's like me this season going, God, just make sure that the Seahawks are never relevant again. Well, they're not, and the Eagles and the Cowboys are. So I should have been a little more specific, shouldn't I have, Howard?
Well, it doesn't mean that any of these teams are going to take the NFC crown. I think Green Bay is looking really good right now, so I think I'd put them...
Green Bay's only looking good to disappoint down the pike.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. They look like they're in position to get at least one of the top 2 seeds in the NFC, in my opinion.
I know the whole thing is, like, since Aaron Rodgers said relax, they've been something like... He's done 13 touchdowns, 0 picks. Well, you tell me how long that streak's going to last. Any fucking team is going to do a whole lot of winning when they've got 0 turnovers.
But I want to look at that Harvin trade now, because that does that's symptomatic of what's going on.
Yeah, if it weren't for Peyton, that would be the story still. For those that don't know, Percy Harvin, who was traded to the Seahawks by the Vikings for, I want to say, what, a first, a third, and a seventh?
Yeah, no, they gave up quite a bit in order to get Percy Harvin.
Yeah, and they had to eat a lot of cash. I want to say the guy was due $12 million that year. He really kind of rode the pine almost up until the Super Bowl.
Well, he was injured, yeah.
Yeah, but he's always injured. He's got more headaches than a woman getting out of fucking sex, man.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my migraines, all this, all that. And what really came out after the Seahawks, again, gave up these three picks last year, not a long time ago, last year for this dude. They give up Percy Harvin for a conditional sixth rounder to the Jets.
I thought it was second or fourth, no.
No, it was way worse than people thought.
Oh, wow.
They thought it was a fourth that could scale up to a second.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a sixth round that could scale up to a fourth.
Wow.
And like a lot of that is contingent on whether or not he stays on the roster next year for the Jets. So it sounds like if they sweep him out, it's just a guaranteed sixth, I believe.
Okay.
So they gave him up for shit. Even this day and age, a sixth isn't much. You know what I mean? Like, you won all your draft picks, but for fuck's sake, it's a sixth.
To me, it's a symptom that the Seahawks are basically trying to rebuild at the wide receiver position midseason, because they do believe that some of the young guys that they picked up who are unproven in the league can replace Harvin as well as Golden Tate, who had a huge game for Detroit, by the way. That was a huge mistake to let him go.
Yeah, the guy has proven himself as, I mean, he's obviously not the number one wideout over there.
Well, he would have been Seattle, I'll tell you that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you would have ruled that roost. But you're opposite Megatron. I don't think many people are mistaking you as King Cock. But what really started coming out almost immediately, because people hear that and they're like, if nothing else, Seattle has a league reputation as being rather prudent with its picks. They're very good at building through the draft, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a math major to realize, well, they had a first, a third, and a seventh, and it turned into 1/6. What the fuck?
Well, to be fair, Harvin really contributed to that Super Bowl victory. It's hard to say it's a complete wash for them.
I guess if you really, if nothing else happens, yeah, you can point to that ring and be like, fuck it, I guess he was part of that.
But they're trying to repeat this year, and it's obvious to me that he was not going to be part of that formula.
Yeah, and what has leaked out is that the dude was like stage 4 locker room cancer, at least according to some people, which makes it really, really interesting. For example, Golden Tate, who you just mentioned.
Yeah.
If you look at the 2013 season Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks team picture, Golden Tate has one fuck of a shiner on his face.
Oh, wow.
And that is from Percy Harvin. Apparently, the night before the Super Bowl, they got into a fight where Percy body slammed Golden Tate. Now, this is two large men, and people who saw the fight were apparently worried that Golden Tate's neck was broken from the force with which Percy Harvin slammed this dude to the ground.
Wow.
And supposedly, the straw that broke the camel's back is Russell Wilson, who just looks like the all-American fucking guy.
Right.
Like, just like, walked up to Golden, or not Golden Tate, walked up to Percy Harvin recently, and it was kind of like a, gee, guy, what's your attitude problem? You know, why, let's not put the I in team type shit.
Yeah.
And Percy Harvin was pretty much like, I'm going to break my motherfucking foot off in your ass if you continue with this shit.
Wow.
And this might shock you, the team sided with their starting quarterback, who they have for fucking peanuts for another 2 years. Yeah. What's funny, though, is not everyone who's a big name on the team came out and said Percy Harvin eats shit. I mean, Pete Carroll, through his lack of saying something to the contrary, spoke volumes, and I want to say Russell Wilson, same thing.
Right.
He didn't come out and say, like, no, Percy Harvin's a great guy. They kind of just let it slide. But Richard Sherman, who we all know I think is a piece of shit, but he came out and said, I love Percy Harvin. I really don't know where this came from. And most fascinatingly, Marshawn Lynch was apparently very tight with Percy, and his tweet that he really didn't take down, I'm sure he'll get fined for it, like right after Percy was traded, he just tweets and leaves us up for days. Damn, they got my nigga.
Oh, yeah.
And supposedly he almost didn't get on the team bus later that Friday.
Marshawn.
Yeah, over Percy Harvin getting the axe like that.
Yeah, it's a confusing move to me. I think that he brings a lot to that offense. And so for all the downside that you might have with a guy who doesn't have the sense not to hurt a teammate the day before the Super Bowl, I mean, he diversified that offense in a way that is now gone. And I'm really skeptical these other receivers are going to be able to provide the kind of spark that Percy did.
Yeah, you should be, because they won't.
But we'll see. I mean, to me, the bigger story is on the Jets side. Now, I've been quoted on the show multiple times saying that the Jets still have a chance of winning the AFC East. And despite losing by a mere 2 points at Foxborough on Thursday.
That was impressive. I watched that one.
I think they can still win that division. Believe it or not, I don't think New England's going to finish better 9-7, people. Just check the schedule. Three of the losses that the Jets already have this season are to Green Bay, San Diego, and Denver. Three teams that the Patriots also have on the schedule and have yet to play. So if the Patriots lose those three games and the Jets can beat the Pats at home, I think you're looking at a team that is going to have pretty much the same or close to the same record as the Patriots by the end of the season. So I still believe in Geno Smith. Let's see what they do this week, but they have to go 8-1 the rest of the season, I think. They're 1-6 right now, and the Percy Harvin trade really could be the move that saves a very desperate team right now.
I mean, Geno's, I think, weak-minded enough and young enough where Percy could walk in and just be like, get me the motherfucking ball. And that would happen, and it actually could work for a while. It will blow up in their faces at some point, but at this point, Rex Ryan is just like, fucking just whatever I can to hold on to my job, man.
They're going to have a couple strange plays, I hope, where Geno and Mike Vick are on the field at the same time. Percy Harvin lines up in the wide receiver slot. They run left. There's a pitch out to Vick, and then Vick has the option of like going deep to another receiver or like having the reverse to Harvin. It's gonna be weird. They're gonna have some fun with these plays. I don't know if they're gonna be very effective, but they're gonna get creative because they're desperate right now. That's a crap division though. So I still think that the Jets can win it, even if they don't play great. They just need to start winning freaking games.
That sounds like the Fonz's playbook from the Waterboy.
You're welcome. But I don't know. With the AFC picture, I think the biggest victory might have been KC beating San Diego. That was a huge turn.
Oh yeah, man. San Diego had a huge head of steam going, and KC showed that it still has some signs of life in the division.
Yeah, because I've been calling
it an afterthought.
I've been calling the AFC pretty much a lock for the slick six playoff spots, but now you're starting to wonder if KC can make a run at a playoff spot. And personally, I'm wondering now whether the Bengals are going to be able to like sneak into the playoffs.
I told you, everyone laughed at me when I said last week that AFC North ain't shit, and the Bengals look like hell, and Cleveland lost its starting center, and they lost.
The Ravens are looking good, man.
The Jags. Yeah, the Ravens look good, but everyone was thinking the goddamn North could put at least one wild card, if not two, out. I'm telling you right now, Bengals ain't going to do it.
I never would have said two. I still think the Bengals can. They're still technically in the sixth spot right now. That tie was a big deal for them, but the reason they got shut out this week, number one reason, AJ Green was injured. I mean, it's a simple formula. Like, Andy Dalton doesn't deserve the contract
he
got.
He's the reason Andy Dalton exists.
Because Andy Dalton has great numbers for the last couple seasons precisely because AJ Green is a top...
Yeah.
I think he's a top three receiver. He's at least
it's
a top
Dante
five.
It's Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss all over again.
It really feels like that. It really does. So we'll see. As long as Green is healthy, I think they have a good shot at making it back into the playoff picture. But that's ugly, man. They got stomped by the Colts. The Colts are looking like they could actually make it to the Super Bowl this year, though.
Colts look fierce.
They're a contender along with Denver, and that's a big game on Thursday. We have Denver playing San Diego.
Are we getting to next week's games?
I guess we should, because to me, that's a big one right there.
Yeah, Thursday night slate, I felt up until last week with that Jets-Patriots game, has been very weak. And this week, Chargers at Broncos, I don't think that gets bigger.
Those teams have extremely strong identities on offense, so we're going to see two teams that are ready for Thursday night football like we did last week. Those two teams had identities, so.
Yeah, 5-2 Chargers at 5-1 Broncos. Your pick?
It's in Denver. I mean, the thing is, like, Peyton Manning doesn't do well managing the clock.
Not just that, the Chargers have had his number. How many? At least one time the Chargers have bounced his ass out of the postseason. I don't want to say it's twice. Those LT years, man.
Yeah, the tough thing that you keep pointing out this season is the Broncos' defense is better, so they should be able to get Phillip Rivers off the field. So it's not a strong pick, but I'll go with the Broncos just because of the defense, as you called it, being better this year.
Yeah, I think it's a total push. I really don't fucking know. I'm going to go Bronx, too, because what the hell? Who gives a shit? It's not like we're laying wood on this.
I mean, according to the bettors, like, Denver's a 7.5-point favorite, so.
Doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
Bears at Patriots. The Bears had one hell of a week. They lost again at home. There was apparently a huge fight in the locker room afterward. Players getting pulled. It was quite the cluster fudge, to use adult language. I'm going with the Patriots.
The Patriots are not a good team. Like, people, you keep dissing the Jets, and yet you're going to ignore completely that the Patriots almost lost to the Jets at home. This is not a good team. They could very easily lose to the Bears. I don't understand why they're a 7-point favorite either, because the Bears, yeah, they dropped a dud.
I think it's because at least one of the Bears wins, and I think the second one as well, but I know their win against the 49ers was almost a goddamn miracle the way it came together. And I feel like their second win of the season, that might have been the second, I want to say the first, was equally improbable. So they've really just had like one win that was pretty clean. I don't know, man. I don't believe. I kind of was buying into them for a bit, but Green Bay seems resurgent in the division, and the Lions have looked real deal pretty much the whole year.
I don't think the Patriots' offense is consistent yet, so the Bears' defense will have a chance to stop them. And you have too many weapons on that offense for the Patriots' flawed defense to keep them out of the end zone.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
go Bears
game,
in that
man.
Game.
Should be a decent game. Also at 1 p.m., Seahawks at Panthers. Two teams that you can't help but say have disappointed given the expectations going into this season.
Shockingly, the Panthers are still in first place, aren't they? Yeah.
The South is fucking horrible. That's why.
So, yeah, let's see just how horrible they are as they go up against the struggling.
I think you're right, though. I think the Bucks are like 1-5, and then Falcons and Saints are 2-4?
Yeah.
Something exactly. Like that.
Falcons are 2-5.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, Panthers are on top of that shit. Mm. Somehow still, even though they look butt-awful. Who they lose to this week?
Panthers. who stomped them? It was Green Bay.
Someone stomped them. Yeah, it was Green Bay. They were almost like shut out, as I recall. You've got Ravens at Bengals. I think the Ravens can really hold the Bengals' head underwater here.
I mean,
but
that's a game-time decision whether to watch that, really, because if A.J. Green is not there, you're not getting a fair assessment of how these
if
two teams
does,
are measuring
I,
up.
If he does, I absolutely wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals won, though. They've been decent at home as long as, like, no eyes are on them.
And they won that home opener at Baltimore. So yeah. I think that the Bengals match
well,
there's
well a reason
the
people
Ravens.
were buying stock at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Eagles at Cards, 2-5-1 teams. That's one of your 4 p.m. games. I think that one's pretty goddamn good.
Let's look 2 weeks ahead as well because the Cardinals are playing Dallas the following week. This is going to say a lot. These two games that the Cardinals have both this week and the following week, that's going to say a lot about the wildcard playoff picture because we want to know if, like, the Cardinals are just going to force these two teams behind them in the NFC West to chase for a wild card spot at best. And we want to know if the NFC East has teams that are going to put some separation between them and the NFC West. Because everybody's been calling them the NFC Least for years. If they can actually both beat Arizona, that would be pretty damn impressive.
Well, I've been pulling for the Cards forever. And when they're playing the goddamn Eagles, trust me, that does not change.
So are you just pulling for them or do you think they can really win that?
I think absolutely they can win. I think the Eagles they're akin to the Bears in that so many of their wins have been by the skin of their goddamn teeth. And don't get me wrong, when you dissect the season of a Super Bowl winner, like a lot of those wins are by this much.
Yeah.
Like Seattle last year had at least 3 wins that were like by this much. And you know what? That's enough to get you in, man. You don't need to be the fucking 85 Bears to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You need a couple of breaks in games to get home field advantage, and you need a little luck in the postseason.
That's the salary cap era. You just need to get hot come December. You really just need to be able to put it together by the end.
It really can get a little coin flippy. Monday night, Skins at Cowboys. I mean, I'm not nuts. I predict the Cowboys to win resoundingly, but if they don't, God, I hope the Skins get it done against them. And I also don't want people to forget there is a 9:30 a.m. game for you East Coasters out there. Lions at Falcons. I take it that's a London game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. That is
I hate when they sneak them in at 9:30 and you're just like watching bullshit pregame coverage at noon, and instead it's like, you know, 5 minutes left in the third quarter. You're like, son of a bitch, I missed it. So don't forget that. There is a Sunday 9:30 a.m. Eastern game, Lions at the Falcons.
I don't think it'll be a horrible game to watch if you're really looking for something to do.
I haven't seen much of the Lions. I know they're doing great this year, and they just really haven't had a lot of national games.
Megatron's been hurt, so that's been the biggest disappointment in watching their games. It's just he's the person you pay to see. So
that's true.
I guess the last game I'd want to mention is I am interested in that Sunday night game, Packers Saints.
Yeah.
It's not been great recently for the Saints, but I want to see them bounce back. I do think that the league is better when the Saints are good.
The way they played my boy Peyton in that Super Bowl, fuck them. Fuck them.
Wow.
Fuck them to pieces and fuck them forever. That's what I say. Because I'm profound like that. all right, I guess we can wrap this one up. Howard, thank you for joining me.
Congrats, Peyton. It's been a great ride, both literally and figuratively, to that 509.
And now, exactly, Howard can simply think of the number 509 and get an erection. Because he has been conditioned like one of Pavlov's doggies. Folks, it was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show's website is pfpod.com. We put the new episodes up there every week, as well as writing whenever we decide to crank something out. If you want to subscribe to the show using iTunes or Stitcher, well, guess what? You can do that. That would make sense why I mentioned it. You can also look up Papa's Basement, our main show, over there. And if you are into webcomics at all, go to thespookiescomic.com, a comic that I happen to write, at Papa's Basement if you want me on Twitter. And if you want Howard on Twitter, it is at Vinnie Van Gogh, spelled Christ. I don't know.
Like, just Go Tigers for LSU. Okay. Vinnie Van Gogh.
Oh, God. All right. Just find out Papa's Basement. All right. Later.